And welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Staltari, and I'm delighted to share another Les Filles du Roi episode with you. We are going to be featuring Jeanne Chevalier today. She's amazing, one of the most exciting that I have studied so far. In case you have just joined us, this is a regular series that I'm doing on Les Filles du Roi, which was a special program that the King and Jean Talon organized to be able to populate New France. And there's about 700 of these young ladies. We're at number 35, so we've got a long way to go. If you enjoy this kind of content, please feel free to like this video and subscribe, and also click on the notifications alert so you can be alerted when I post new content. Also, if you have a Filles du Roi that you'd like me to feature, please put it down in the comments below, or you can also email me at haverootswilltravel.com, or just post it right here on the YouTube comments below. Any of that, and I will definitely move your request to the front of the line. Les Filles du Roi was a program begun by the intendant Jean Talon in 1663. I go into great detail about this in the video that I have on this channel called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. In it, I describe all of the ins and outs, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, all of the particulars of it. I think it's very, very important as a base for you to kind of get the lay of the land with this. So if this is your first time viewing one of these videos, I would refer you back to episode Les Filles du Roi 2.0 so you can get an idea of the program. Let's have a look at who we're going to be studying today. Well, today's young lady is Jeanne Chevalier, and she is by far one of the, I would say, top five that I've studied. She's not one of my great-grandmothers. She's actually the great-grandmother of my best friend and also one of my genealogy colleagues and friends. And it was really a privilege to be able to study this lady and find out her contribution, which is immense. And as we will explore, you will get to know Jeanne very, very well. Let's get started. So let's get a little bit of biographical information about Jeanne. She was born June 8, 1643 in Coutances, France. She was baptized in the Saint Nicholas Church, and her parents were Jacques Chevalier and Marguerite Scorbin. Now, where is Coutances? Well, it happens to be a small township in the department of Manche in the Normandy region of northwestern France. It was actually founded as a name, if you can believe this, in 298 AD. This is where it dates from. It has quite a violent history. The town was destroyed by invading Normans in 866. And later on, they established settlements here. Even during the Battle of Normandy in World War II, the city was bombed. So it actually has this, even though it's this very small place, it has kind of a violent reputation. Now, the Saint Nicholas Church that she would have been baptized in was founded in the 13th century. It was destroyed during the Hundred Years' War by the Protestants in 1562. And yet again, during June of 1944, during the Normandy invasion. The porch of the church is from the Middle Ages. So if you get a chance to visit, parts of this church are date from all the different elements. It's kind of gotten pieced together. Very, very interesting. Very interesting that it still stands. And this is where Jeanne comes from. So just amazing fighters. That's how I view it. That's true. And you will see that she is indeed a fighter. So Jeanne's father dies, and Jeanne embarks on the grand adventure of Les Filles du Roi. She was slightly older than many of the Filles du Roi we have already studied, and she arrived in Quebec City on July 30th, 1671, aboard the Prince Maurice, which We have also seen several filles du roi that we have studied. Marie Charpentier from video number 30, Elizabeth Créton, number 12, and Marie-Antoinette Lefebvre, number 25, were also on that ship. So the groom she selects is Guillaume Le Cantal dit La Tour, and he was born in the village of Beaumont-en-Auge, found in Normandy, so they're both from Normandy, France. The beginning of this town comes from the founding of the priory, or the monastery as it's called, in 1060, which was actually witnessed by William the Conqueror and his wife Matilda. When I read that, when I was doing the research on this, just blows my mind. The church where he would have been baptized is still standing and dates from the 11th century. And the top picture I have here is just a charming view of the town as it looks now. Doesn't it just look like what you would imagine a town in France and Normandy would look like? So she arrives in Quebec at the end of July, and by October 19th, all is settled, and Jeanne and Guillaume, Le Cantal du Détour, are married in Quebec City. This is a copy of their marriage record, and she receives the £50 from the king. So by 1672, we find Jeanne and Guillaume in a place called Château Richer, but they soon move to Ange Gardien and begin settling down and having their family. Ange Gardien means literally guardian angel, and it's located about 9 miles from Quebec City, about 9 miles north of Quebec City, 14 kilometers. Now, just to give you a little history about Ange Gardien, Pierre Mailloux and Jean Trudaine were the first two permanent settlers here, about 1657, and by 1664, they were celebrating a mass here at Jean Trudaine's house, and so they kind of said, "Hey, we want our own place." And L'Ange Gardien was detached from Château Richer at this point to become an autonomous parish. In 1664, there were approximately at that point about 125 people living here, and so that's about 10 years before they move in, Jeanne and Guillaume. By 1675, a stone church is built. And a new church would be built by 1717 by Monseigneur Dufournel in the place where the current church is located that you can see. The latter was set fire in 1931, which will be replaced by the one we know today. So a lot of history involving in this church, but dates back to at least the early 1700s. The middle photo is a wonderful picture of Ange Gardien as you can see it today. So Guillaume and Jeanne would go on to have three children. Nicolas, who was born in 1672, passes away at the age of 20. Guillaume is, I'm sorry, the next son is Charles, 1675 to 1699. He does not marry. He does not have any descendants. And Guillaume passes away at the age of 2. So let's explore this family. So around 1679, Guillaume disappears. We have to assume that he passes away, but there is some evidence that he may have just taken off and become a voyageur or an engagé in the West. We do not know for sure because we don't have the documents. All we know is Jeanne by now in 1679 is left with three young boys, and another wonderful man appears who would actually make her life. This is the one she was waiting for. Let's find out all about him. Well, this new fellow, his name is Robert Lévesque, and he was born September 3rd, 1642, in a place called Auteuil Saint-Sulpice in Rouen, Normandy. And his parents were Pierre Lévesque and Marie Gaumont. Now, I give you an example of the church where he would have been baptized in. You can kind of locate the place in Normandy. And this is just an old postcard that I found that I thought was very charming. This particular place is in France, is a place you need to visit if this is your ancestry, because it really is quite remarkable. Now, Robert was an incredible, apparently, and I think so, was a very talented carpenter. And he, wanted to get to New France, and he was actually hired by a man named Seigneur François Deschamps for a period of 3 years. So he became an apprentice carpenter, or a carpenter hired by the Seigneur, and they came across together. And at the end of that 3 years, he would get land. So this was the deal he struck. He actually helped build the Seigneur's property on the land. And by 1674, he would achieve his freedom, and he would get 12 arpents, which is about 8 to 10 acres of land. And apparently, this faced the seigneur's land as well, the seigneur's estate. And Robert would go on to work for the Jesuits as they built Le Petit Seminaire for the young Quebec boys. And he did a number of projects in Quebec City, gaining money. And he just waited for his turn, I guess, to marry. Now, he couldn't really marry until he had acquired some level of freedom. So by 1674, he was free. But again, probably there was no young ladies around. And when that moment came, it would be Jeanne, the girl from the ship. Now, I'd like to think that he set his sights on her, but of course, in other words, they were all on the same ship together in 1607. They were all on that Prince Maurice. I just think it's so romantic to think of them. So the Seigneur was there, Jeanne was there, and Robert were all on the same ship, coming to Canada, coming to New France. But remember, he needed to fulfill his obligations, and she needed to get married right away, which she did. So finally, Jeanne is free from either being a widow or being abandoned. We do not know. And this is the marriage contract of Jeanne and Robert on the 22nd day of April, 1679. So obviously she was free to marry according to the Catholic Church. Somehow they established that. So this is where they were married, at Ange Gardien. So once they were married, Jeanne and Robert established themselves at Rivière Well, which is where Robert would have had his land because he worked for the Seigneur of Rivière Well. Now let's review a little bit about this place. The name of this river and of the town was said to be named in honor of a man named Douel, Douel, who was a member of the Company of the Hundred Associates and was a colleague of Samuel de Champlain. Again, there's that Samuel de Champlain. He shows up everywhere. The Seigneurie of Rivière Well was granted in 1672 by the intendant Jean Talon to Jean-Baptiste François Deschamps, that we talked about, who had hired Robert to do the work for him. The seigneurie was thereafter called La Bouteillerie, which, by the way, actually means the bottle factory. Not sure of the origins of this in France, but it would be interesting to dig into this someday. The seigneur Deschamps really worked his land and was a truly forward thinker. He actually lived on his land and, in fact, was buried here in 1703. But back to Jacques and, not to Jacques, back to Robert and Jean, and what and how they made their lives at Rivière Well. So let's have a look at the family that Robert and Jeanne created together. François Robert marries Marie Charlotte Aubert and has 11 children. Pierre Joachim, their second born, would marry Angélique Lothaire and have 10 children. Joseph marries Marie-Angélique Menou de Châteauneuf and had 7 children. The next 4 children born after Jeanne would have been in her 40s and into her late 40s, almost 50, all pass away during in infancy, unfortunately, but they have three strong boys who carry on, thankfully, the Levesque name. So just, with Robert, he is this amazing carpenter. He's acquiring land. He's making an amazing contribution to Rivière Well, but it doesn't end there. In 1690, the Battle of Rivière Well, which is a very famous battle, the British were attacking New France, and word had reached the villagers that 30 ships were on their way, coming down the St. Lawrence. Unfortunately, the Signal at that time was away, we think in France. So the village priest at Francheville took command, and a group of about 30 able-bodied men waited for the ships to arrive. Admiral Phillips from New England instructed his men to get to the shore using rowboats. So the French villagers were waiting and began firing. The British retreated, obviously, and did not return. So this is like one of those famous battles where these little guys, just because of like they knew what was happening and they were ready. So we have Robert Levesque who fought, and Jeanne's two older boys. The two boys from her first husband were old enough to fight as well, we believe. I'm not sure the other Levesque boys were old enough to fight, but certainly they would have lived through it and would have known what was going on at this point. So definitely, definitely part of the amazing contribution that Robert Levesque made to this region. So the twists and turns in Jeanne's life have just keep coming. So an epidemic of influenza or yellow fever, not sure which, arrived in 1699. Unfortunately, her husband Robert would succumb September 11, 1699. Her son, Charles Le Cantal, the last of her firstborn children from her first husband, would die at the age of 24 of influenza as well. My heart breaks for this lady. She just loses her husband, loses, has lost children, has lost by now four, five, six children she's lost at different stages. And what is Jeanne going to do? So Jeanne, being Jeanne, finds a way, and she has a new beginning and a new husband in a way that we could not have known. Remember that seigneur who was on the same ship as Robert Levesque and her? Well, it ends up that not only was her property at Rivière Well facing Le Signal, he was also a widower and had been a widower for quite a number of years. And she ends up, he ends up courting her. Let's get to know a little bit about the Signal Jean-Baptiste François Deschamps. He was born in 1646 in Criponville, Normandy, which is just a stone's throw from where Robert lived, which is where we presumably they would have gotten to know each other. His parents, Jean Deschamps and Elisabeth d'Urbain, and then you can see the part of Normandy where he would have been born in. And now, when her husband passes away in 1699, Jeanne is left, basically she's got quite a bit of land. So she's not destitute. She's not in the same place that she was 20 years before when her first husband either abandoned or died, and then Robert comes to save her. At this point, she's doing well for herself. And so they were married. Now, she was married to, I don't know when the courtship began, but Robert passes away in September, the fall of 1699. She marries the Seigneur Jean-François Deschamps in April of 1701. So it's approximately 18 months later. They have So it's kind of like a fairy tale, to have this lady who comes from essentially nothing in Normandy to all of a sudden becoming La Signoresse, although she could not technically be La Signoresse. She was a Madame de la Signorie, de la Riviera Well. And so but she obviously, raises her statue. And becomes a much more high profile lady in the community. And so Jeanne's life takes another twist a mere 2.5 years later, in December of 1703. His third husband passes away. We do not know, what he died of, but he does pass away. He's buried December 16th, 1703. So, now what is Jeanne going to do? So Jeanne died at the age of 71, having lived an extraordinary life, surviving three husbands, the loss of six children. She triumphed and emerged as a woman of substance, not only in material goods, but also the legacy she left. Let's explore a little bit of that, that legacy. So the definitive book on Jeanne Chevalier is an incredible book by Lynn Levesque, who is a direct descendant of Jeanne. This book was first published in 2016 and is one that I discovered as I researched this YouTube video. I devoured it. It was a revelation, not only for the biography of this exact woman, but for the insight into the time period. I give this book my highest recommendation. Even if Jeanne is not your direct ancestor, which actually she's not mine, you should purchase this book. The story of Jeanne is, of course, unique, but within these pages, you'll find a common thread for your fille d'Or. I've also included the plaque that was dedicated at Dieppe by the Association de Famille Lévesque. If this is your ancestry, please have a look at their website. It really is breathtaking. I've included the link to the app to Amazon for the book as well, and the link to the Levesque Association. Just incredible. I'm so glad that a book was written about this incredible woman, because she really is. She does stand out. And also the Levesque family, and most of you who know Quebec history know that Robert Levesque was the ancestor of René Levesque, who became the prime minister during those turbulent times with the Parti Québécois and all of that. So remember when I said Jeanne was a fighter? Well, I think that she imbued in her children that fighting spirit as well. And also the Normandy connection, and building things and making certain that you have what it took. All of that is part of the legacy, I believe, of the children of Jeanne Chevalier and Robert Levesque. And with that, we end another biography of these incredible ladies. So we will be looking at the next episode of Les Filles du Roi, episode number 36, where I will explore a new fille du Roi and find out all about her. And then until then, au revoir.